You're blessed. You're blessed to the point of ridiculousness. This is amazing. God is giving me the most wonderful. It makes, you know, the Bible talks in extreme language, but really this is, if I can use this word, a hilarious gift. It's hilarious. It's wonderful. God has given me salvation. It should make us laugh with joy. In fact, the promised son, which we're going to see in a moment, is Isaac. Laughter. This is joy in the extreme. God says, believe in my son, I'll give you total acceptance and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's just go back one little bit, because let's go back to verse 20 of chapter 2, because there he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, the point is, it's identification, it's exchange, it's his life for my life. Now, this is a very important point, because you see, if we have to believe more, Jesus never said believe more. He just said believe. He said, if you've got faith like a grain of mustard seed, it's enough. It's not the size of your faith that's important. It's just that you believe. Faith doesn't come really in sizes. It's always small, insignificant in itself. It's not really the size of faith that we're talking about. We're talking about the simple fact that you believe. And when we look closely at what Jesus taught, he said in Mark 11, he said, have the faith of God. Now, if you have your translation, it will almost always say, have faith in God. Why? Because people find it hard to believe that Jesus meant have the faith of God. But really, the new covenant is saying, look, I'll give you my faith. When you look at different verses, for example, in Luke 6, it says, Jesus went up into a mountain and spent all night in the prayer of God. The prayer of God. The love of God. The faith of God. The Spirit of God. What we are realizing is that the new covenant is not what I'm doing for God. It's God in me. I've got God's faith. I've got God's love. I've got God's prayer life. Can God have a prayer life? Yes. Who does God pray to? Well, Jesus prays to the Father. But forget about prayer as being just praying to God. Think of prayer now as being God's desires, God's visions, dreams, longings. When we begin to pray in the Spirit, we are praying in the dreams, the visions that the Holy Spirit imparts. And we are moving on in this tremendous life, which is God in me. Now let's turn to chapter 4 and let's read some verses there, because this is a key chapter on the covenants. Let's verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors till the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And then he goes, verse It's 9, but now after you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, desiring again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Now, what does all that mean? You may say, well, that's clear, isn't it? What does it mean? This passage is based on a Roman law that when a Roman brought up his son was actually considered among the slaves. He was not considered a son. He was considered a slave, or among the slaves. And on a certain day, maybe when the child was maybe 12 years old, the father would take his son with all his toys, and he would take his son. He said, now you leave your toys here. You're never going to touch them again. You're not going to play with them again. And he would take him to a public place, and he would say, this is now my son. He is no longer a slave. He's a son. And he would then probably become part of the father's business, and so on. It's very interesting if you think of the bar mitzvah, which is what Jesus had about the age of 12. When he was 12, he went to Jerusalem. He was subject to his parents. And then he went to Jerusalem. The bar mitzvah took place. And then it says that Jesus was then wanted to go into his father's business. It's very interesting. But the point is, his father's business would have been the temple, not Joseph's business. But he was subject to his parents, at least his surrogate parents. But the point is here that what you realize here is happening is that the human race was kept under its minority. What do I mean? Not just individuals, but the whole human race could not come to its full spiritual stature until the Savior came. In other words, from Adam to Jesus, the human race never reached spiritual maturity as we see it given to us in Christ. What he's saying here is this: the human race was under this spiritual immaturity. It was under this time waiting for the coming of Christ. In verse 4, when the fullness of the time was come. You see, when a child reaches 12, the father says, now put the toys away. Now I'm going to take you to a public place and declare you a son. When Christ came, he said to the whole world, he said, the time of outward religion is completely finished. We don't do that anymore. We don't have vestments and robes and special buildings and special. We now have the reality. We're not playing with toys. By the way, it's interesting to notice that men are boys and can play with toys all their life. It's not the toys that change, it's the price of the toy that changes. Porsche. Thank you, and so on, and expensive laptops and so on. But the point is that religion can be just a toy as well. We are not to be in the minority state when we are just living in outward things. We are to come to this fullness where we are now being taken by God and says, I declare you publicly to be my son. Now, this is very important because God looks at us and he says, now, Les, you're not just a Christian. You're a son of God. You're a son. A Christian could be considered a slave, but he's not. A Christian may behave like a slave in as much as he does the will of God as a love slave. We are love slaves to God, but we are not slaves. We haven't received the spirit of slavery. We haven't got the spirit of rules and regulations. We've got the spirit of the Son. So God says to me, You are my son. I am